convocation. You shall do no ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. So it's a special holiday. It's a Shabbat. It's the head of the year, kind of a pretty important time. There are special things, traditionally, according to Jewish tradition, that have happened on Rosh Hashanah. Number one, and I'm just going to go through them quickly here, and this is not really everything, but number one, it's said that Adam and Eve were created on Rosh Hashanah, the beginnings of the beginning. It's said that the flood waters, you know, the great flood, dried up on Rosh Hashanah. It's said that Enoch was taken up by God on Rosh Hashanah. It is said that Sarah, Rachel, and the prophet Samuel were conceived on Rosh Hashanah. It is said that Joseph was freed from prison by Pharaoh on Rosh Hashanah. And it is said that the forced labor of the Hebrews in Egypt ended on this day, on Rosh Hashanah. It's the day that, you know, there's some good things and there's some bad things. It's the day that it's said that Job contracted leprosy on Rosh Hashanah. Not so much a good thing. It's the start of the sacrifices on the altar built by Ezra, the scribe that really helped lead the people coming back from Babylon. That is said to occur on Rosh Hashanah. And of course, for us here, Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of Kol Mashiach. We started on Rosh Hashanah back in 1989, 33 years ago, tonight on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Happy New Year. So among other things, Happy New Year and happy anniversary. So with any of these holidays that we have, there's themes, there's currents that run through, both physical and spiritual. We're going to talk about some of those themes tonight of Rosh Hashanah. One of the major themes of this holiday is repentance. And we've kind of talked about that a little bit. Rosh Hashanah is said to be a time when Israel takes stock of their spiritual condition. Jewish people will perk up for Rosh Hashanah many times and say, okay, I've got to think about this year because Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is coming up in just 10 days. We take stock of our spiritual condition on Rosh Hashanah. We look at where we have been. We look at what we have done. We look at how we have acted and how we have spoken to other people and even to God. And we repent to God. So tonight, as we begin the new year, as we reflect on the previous year, let us come before God honestly. And let us come before God with heartfelt repentance, with an attitude and a heart of repentance tonight. When we hurt someone or wrong them, we are taught to say, what? I'm sorry, right? That is so misused and overused in our culture, the words, I'm sorry. Many times when people say, I'm sorry, whether it's you saying it to somebody or somebody is saying it to you or to other people, I'm sorry can just be very hollow words, right? Sometimes it's just a way of getting out of something. Well, I'm sorry that I did that terrible thing to you. Now let me go continue to do terrible things, right? I'm sorry can be many times hollow words. Are you sorry you got caught? Are you sorry that somebody got upset with you? So you said, I'm sorry. Are you sorry you did something to someone that was wrong? These are the kind of things we have to think about. In Judaism, there are periods of time and certain prayers that force us to look at our actions. Rosh Hashanah falls between this 40-day period of reflection. It starts with the month of Elul, and it ends with the first 10 days of Tishrei. And then we go into Rosh Hashanah, and then we come up onto Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. At this time of the year, we're in the middle of it. We examine our lives. We look at what we've done, and we know that the first step in admitting is admitting that you have a problem, right? The first step into changing, the first step, even before you say, I'm sorry, is to say, what have I done wrong? To think about it and to admit that you have a problem. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Many people can't even get to that point, right? So let's be reflective tonight. Let's think about this idea of repentance. When we get to Matthew chapter 3, the beginning of the book, and we've been going through the book of Matthew all year, we're almost at the end of it, so we're going to go way back to like almost a year ago. Matthew chapter 3. Yochanan the immerser, John the Baptist, is immersing people in the Jordan River in Israel. He's got a ministry of, specifically, he has a ministry of repentance. That is his ministry. And in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, this is what it says. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We know that John or Yochanan's job was to prepare the way for the Mashiach. He was the Elijah to come before Mashiach comes. His job was to prepare the way for the Messiah, spiritually Elijah. And it talks about that in the book of Malachi. We don't have time to turn, but Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Many people from all over Israel were going to the Jordan River to be baptized or immersed by John, by Yochanan, and to repent of their sins. But many people were coming, specifically leaders is what we read in the text in just a minute. But many people were coming, and they were just doing that phony or hollow, I'm sorry, you know? Many of the leaders were coming, some of the leaders were coming, and they were just doing it just because everybody else was doing it, because John was very popular. They were doing it for a photo op. They were doing it just because it was the thing that was expected for them to do or would look right for them to do this, to say, I'm sorry, to ask for repentance. We read in Matthew 3, 7 and 8, but when he, Yochanan, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So when we repent, when we have a repentant attitude, when it's heartfelt and not just a hollow, I'm sorry, what happens? There's fruit that comes along with it. There's sorrow. There's remorse. There's a feeling of, I messed up and I want to change. We have a concept and an idea in Judaism. It's called teshuva, and it means to return to God. It means the way in which you were going, you realize it's wrong, and you turn 180 degrees the other direction. That is the true I'm sorry. That is true repentance. And he was telling them, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. If you really are repentant, don't just say the phony I'm sorry. Really mean it. Show fruit in it. They weren't showing any fruit. They didn't repent. They didn't feel like they had the need to repent. So point number one tonight, we must recognize our need for repentance. If we're just going through the motions tonight, and for Yom Kippur, and you know, we get to the Al Chet, which is all the things that we've done over the year. If we just kind of do it in a hollow way, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it. It's got to have a heart, the heart behind it. Many people are walking all around the world tonight thinking that they have nothing to repent of. But the Bible tells us that we're all sinners, whether we acknowledge that we're sinners or not. Whether we acknowledge that we need to repent, the truth is we all need to repent. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This is the thing, you know, when Yeshua says things like, I called sinners to repentance, he's calling everybody to repentance because we're all sinners. Romans 3, 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Yeshua came to be immersed by Yochanan in the Jordan River. This was before he even started his ministry. Right after he's immersed by John, what does he do? He goes into the wilderness for a period of 40 days, which many believe, by the way, was the period that we're in of 40 days. I don't have time to go into that, but the beginning of Elul, they believe that this could have been the time that this happened because Yeshua goes into the desert, into the wilderness for 40 days, and he comes out, and as he comes out, he speaks these words, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. This is how he begins his ministry. From that time, Yeshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sounds familiar, right? That's what Yochanan said. So we have this repeated theme. Anytime God repeats anything in Scripture, we need to take notice because he really, really, really means it. I mean, he always means it when he says something in Scripture. But when he repeats something, he means for us to really take stock, really take notice of it, and understand that this is his heart for us. So Yeshua's first words in his whole ministry were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The definition of repentance is deep sorrow, compunction, or contrition for a past sin or sins, wrongdoing, or the like. So on Rosh Hashanah, we come before God, we assemble. We come to hear the shofar, yes, but we come with repentant hearts, sorrowful for past mistakes, willing to recognize our sin and our need to be forgiven by God and to repent to him. So, when we think about God now, that's enough about us, right? Repentance, we got it. All right, we're sorrowful. We're going to do the real I'm sorry, not the hollow I'm sorry. But then we get to what people have as a picture of God. And unfortunately, many, many people in the world have this picture of God. The really unfortunate part is many believers tend to have this picture of God that we're going to talk about now. And the picture of God that's all too common is that God is some distant and harsh dictator. Or he's aloof, right? He's just over there somewhere and not close to us. And more than that, he's really not interested in us, let alone our repentant acts. He is a stern heavenly being that remembers all of our sins. He sits up there with folded hands in heaven, right? And he says, aha, there you go again, so-and-so. And you can fill in your name, by the way. There you go again, doing that thing, you know, that thing, whatever that thing is you all do, whatever that thing is I do. And we think, many people think he says, you're not worthy of being forgiven. You ever felt like that? Maybe I'm not worthy of being forgiven. Maybe I've sinned too much this year. Maybe I have really messed up to the point where God is just going to be done with me. And I'm not worthy of repentance. I've done too much wrong, and I can't reconcile with God. We have a beautiful tradition in Judaism, and it came about pretty late within our history. It came about in the 16th century. I know that seems like a long time, but it's not a long time in Judaism. In the 16th century, there was a rabbi, and his name was Isaac Luria, and he began this wonderful tradition, this Jewish tradition that is still practiced today, and we're going to do it tomorrow, and it's called Tashlich. Tashlich is where we go to a river or some running water, body of water. We're going to go down to the river, just a few miles from here. And what do? We turn our pockets inside out, and we empty crumbs out of our pockets. We cast stones or bread into the water. And this is all symbolic. And it's symbolic of us taking our sins and casting them away, or God casting away our sins, more specifically, after we confess and repent to God. So this is the process. Turn with me to Micah chapter 7. The book of Micah is the major scripture, although there's other scriptures for Tashlich. The book of Micah is a major scripture. And in the book of Micah, the context of the book of Micah is Israel was doing really, 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 really bad things. Sound familiar? Happens a lot in the Bible. But in the book of Micah, it was like, did I do nine reallys? It was a lot of reallys, a lot of really bad sins, falling into major sin with God. But here's the cool thing about the book of Micah. Even though Israel was doing all of that, the book of Micah ends with mercy, forgiveness. We sang about it tonight, chesed, the loving kindness of God. Micah 7, 18 to 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in chesed, steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of your sins into the depths of the sea. That's where we get the Tashlich reference. You'll cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. Verse 20, you will show your faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have shown to our fathers from days of old. How beautiful is that after such a bad time in Israel's history? So rather than seeing God as this cruel or distant dictator or person that is just done with us, we need to see God as he's truly portrayed, which is a biblical view of God. And that picture of God is a God that is waiting for you and I just to acknowledge our sins, to repent, to go to him and to say, I'm sorry. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He's waiting every single day. It doesn't have to be like tonight. Of course, tonight's a great time to do it, but you can do it on a Tuesday in April if you want. Every day is a day to say to God, I'm sorry, and to confess your sins. But we remember this specifically tonight. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beautiful scripture. This is the proper character of God we need to have. Not the character of God that is portrayed in the world today. Not the character of God that is in many people's minds. That's a false picture of God. This is God. Psalm 86, verse 5. Turn with me there. The character of God is not as a mean, cruel dictator, not as a God that holds grudges, but a God that is portrayed throughout Scripture, including in Psalm 86, 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. That's a really beautiful picture of who God is and his character. Point number two, the Lord delights in our repentance. He's delighting in the fact that we're coming together and repenting and confessing our sins and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, the real I'm sorry. He created us to be with him, not estranged from him. Now, we must understand our sins, and we must recognize our need to repent of our sins, and we know that God delights in our repentance, and he wants us to repent. Now turn with me to Isaiah 59, verse 2. The whole idea behind repenting to God is that we can reconnect with him. Because of sin, we have become separated from God. Separated from him and separated from him because he's holy and he can't dwell with sin. So we have voluntarily separated away from God when we have sinned, lost connection with him. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Remember John the Baptist's message. He had a ministry of repentance, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he talking about? He was the forerunner of Mashiach, of Messiah. He was talking about repenting because here comes the Savior. Here comes the Redeemer of Israel and the whole world. Here comes the one, like he said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in John chapter 1. The one who came to cleanse us from our sins and reconcile us back to God. After we repent and say, I'm sorry, we know that God cleanses us. And the way he does that is through the atonement that only comes through the blood. And that is through our Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The book of 1 Peter 2, 24, 25 says this. He himself, talking about the Messiah, talking about the Redeemer, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I don't know about you, but I want to return even more tonight to the shepherd and overseer of my soul. I want to be right with God. Point number three, repentance leads us to reconnection with God. It's the first step to bring us into that connecting point with God. When we have heartfelt repentance, not just the cheap or phony, I'm sorry. When we have heartfelt repentance, when we truly do teshuva and turn from our sins and we turn toward the Lord, when we accept the sacrifice of Yeshua and his blood, reconciliation with the Father happens. Last scripture tonight, and it's a great one, I think. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And through him, Yeshua, to reconcile to himself, to God the Father, all things, whether on heaven or whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. God wants to be at peace with us tonight. We are not at peace with God because of that separation of sin. We have done many things this year, and as we come and we reflect on those things, as we ponder those things, yes, we can be sorrowful, but it should lead us to that proper understanding of God, not as someone stern and harsh and saying, okay, that was pretty good, but I really want you to get on your knees and grovel now. No, he doesn't say that. When our heart is right, when we come to him and truly repent and accept that blood sacrifice of Yeshua, we can be in connection with God. That's what it's all about. That's really what the whole thing is, everything that we do, everything we're about, it's the whole message of God. God wants his fallen creation to come back to him. So let's repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you've given us a way. Lord, we know our sins are in front of us at this time. We know that there's been things that we've done to each other, to ourselves even. We know, Lord God, we have forsaken you. We have hurt you. We've hurt each other. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness tonight. We ask for forgiveness for all of those ways that we broke covenant with you, for all of those ways where we didn't think before we acted or spoke. And Lord, we ask that you would just truly hear our hearts, our heartfelt cry of repentance. And Lord, as the shofar sounds tonight, may it awaken our spirit and our soul to repentance. May it awaken us to understand that you are right there and that you want us to come to you. So Lord, my prayer is for everyone here tonight, everyone watching on the live stream, for our whole community, Lord, to recognize that need to repent, to hear the sound of the shofar, the day of blasting, and to know that Yeshua, you redeem us by your blood, and you want to be our king. You want to be our redeemer, Melech Ozer. We thank you, and we praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Now we get to what we've come for, what the Bible talks about. We come to the hearing of the shofar blast. Now the shofar is this, and the shofar is also, there's other ram, different things. Shofars are in different shapes. This is actually a ram's horn shofar. The longer shofars are not ram's horns, but a shofar really can be from any kosher animal.
Except
a cow.
Why?
It's not a cow because we messed up with cows back in the book of Exodus. There was a big golden one that we messed up with. So we don't talk about cows. You can go eat them, but we're not going to blow the horn of a cow. Now, the shofar is used throughout the Bible for many reasons. And we talked about some of them tonight. Number one, to assemble the nation of Israel to battle. We read many, many times in the scriptures about how God assembled Israel with the blast of the shofar. Number two, to assemble them to hear the word of the Lord. We're here tonight, assembled to hear the word of the Lord. Also, to remember God's kingship. We have to remember, and tonight, Rosh Hashanah is that one of those nights where we really reflect and remember, and you probably picked up on the theme, it's a kingship theme. We have songs that talk about God as our king. We want God to come as our king. So we remember God's kingship on this night. We also remember our need to repent before the Holy One of Israel and to return to him. We talked about that. When we hear the sound of the shofar, we also remember the resurrection that is going to take place, right? When we hear the true shofar sound, we know that Yeshua will return, and we know that this will usher in the next era, the next age, a more beautiful age for us. So that sound, this sound is the sound that we're going to hear when Messiah returns. Now, as we go through tonight, you're going to hear several different types of sounds or blasts of the shofar. We have four of them. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going in sequence and blowing all different four sounds repeatedly in different sequences. The first sound you're going to hear is called tekiah. Tekiah is a long single blast. What that represents is our call to action or to attention to the Lord. Tekiah. Shavarim is the second of the blasts. Shavarim is three short broken blows that sound like crying or wailing. This symbolizes our tears of repentance as we come before God. Teruah, the third blast. It's nine rapid staccato blows that serve as a wake-up call to us. And then there's one more, and it's called Tekiah Gadolah, Gadol meaning great, and it is the final long and great blast, the one that we know we are going to hear as Yeshua returns. So what we're going to do next is we're going to have the blessings. We have two blessings tonight because it is the night and the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. And then what we're going to do is we're going to blow the shofar. As we blow the shofar, we're going to do something a little bit differently this year in that we're going to have a little bit more extended shofar blowing than what we normally do. And this is very traditional. We're going to have three sequences of blowing, and you'll hear them all. Between each of the three, there's going to be a period of about 5 seconds of silence. And at those periods, we can confess to the Lord. We can think about what we've done this year. And we can confess it to the Lord. You could just whisper it to God at those few brief moments. And we're going to go through the first sequence, confess, The second sequence, confess to God. And then the third sequence with a loud blast of the shofar. So are we ready to hear the sound of the shofar tonight? Yes. Now that I built it up. Okay.
Let's all join together as we say the blessings. You can sit. You don't need to stand. You can sit. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmoa kol shofar. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to hear the sound of the shofar. And because this is the first time, we say the Shehechianu. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Shehechianu v'kiyimanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us and sustained us and enabled us to reach this season. You ready? Tekiya! Shavarim teruah! Tekiya! Tekiya! Shavarim teruah! Tekiya! Tekiya! Shavarim teruah! Tekiya! Tekiya! Shavarim! Tekiya! Tekiya! Shavarim! Tekiya! Tekiya! Shavarim! Tekiya! Tekiya! Teruah! Tekiya! Tekiya! Teruah! Tekiya! Tekiya! Teruah! Tekiya gedolah!
Shepherd's calling, open your heart. Yeshua's calling.
There is none like our God. There is none like our Lord. There is none like our King. There is none like our Savior. Who is like our God? Who is like our Lord? Who is like our King? Who is like our Savior? We give thanks to our God. We give thanks to our Lord. We give thanks to our King. We give thanks to our Savior. Blessed is our God. Blessed is our Lord. Blessed is our King. Blessed is our Savior. You are our God. You are our Lord. You are our King. You are our Savior.
Ein Keloheinu, ein Kadoneinu, ein Gemalkeinu, ein Kemoshiheinu, Micheloheinu, Michadoneinu, Michemalkeinu, Michemoshiheinu, Noden Eloheinu, Noden Adoneinu. Baruch Eloheinu, Baruch Adoneinu, Baruch Malkeinu, Baruch Moshiyeinu. Atahu Eloheinu, Atahu Adoneinu, Atahu Malkeinu, Atahu Moshiyeinu.
As we prepare to close our service tonight, before we get to the apples and honey and all the wonderful blessings, we want to say a blessing over all of us, the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, the blessing that the first high priest of Israel, Aaron, Aharon, set over the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yevrechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yar Adonai panav alecha v'yichunecha. Yasa Adonai panav alecha v'yasim lecha. Shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar Shalom.